पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे हरे। So let us do a little bit of exercise spiritually. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Krishna Krishna!
Krishna Krishna!
Hare Hare!
Hare Hare!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Rama
Rama!
Hare Hare!
Hare Hare!
So that will give us some mercy. So welcome to today's discussion on Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 10, Text 6 and 7, on the subject, the opulence of the Absolute, also known as Vibhuti Yoga. In this chapter, the Lord further describes His opulence, potencies and position, how one can attain the highest devotional perfection of association with the Supreme Lord has been thoroughly explained in the entire chapter. Now, in order to establish a relationship of any kind with someone, we need to know about the other party, is it not? We would like to make friends, or we want to know someone, alright? Be it friendship, courtship, goat or sheep, doesn't matter, alright? It is the basic requirement for any kind of relationship that you want to have. So some form of information is absolutely necessary. You need to know the person's name or its name if it is a pet. Alright? You need to know the form, whether it's four-legged, two-legged, five-legged. You need to know the abilities, alright? Shortcomings, likes and dislikes of the person, and so on. Is it not? These are all the etc. and etc. that you need to know. But of course, nowadays it's a little bit different, right? After knowing about the other party, usually we try to avoid them. Alright? That's how it happens. But at least in the case of insurance agents. The moment we know the insurance agent, we will just try to go by the back door. So in any case, as aspiring devotees, we definitely need to know about the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to re-establish our lost relationship since time immemorial. Right? In fact, it is the ultimate goal of our human existence to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we read about Krishna, what happens when we open Srila Prabhupada's books and we start to read Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, right? Or any other, Brihad Bhagavatam, so on and so forth. What actually happens if we really conceptualize the Lord being very supremely merciful is very forthcoming. The moment you open up the book, there will be a certain form of peace in your heart. Right? Troubles will just take a back seat. And then, usually the Lord will make the first move. Right? He will extend His merciful hand and He will reintroduce Himself to you. Hello? He will say, hello, my name is Krishna. If you are reading, you will come to know, oh, this blue color person is Krishna. See? You will know. Then you will say, I'm just a little cowherd boy. But that's what we will see in the forefront of the page. Boy chasing cow. cowherd boy. Finish. Alright? But that's all. Is it that all? That is all about Krishna? No, definitely not, right? So, if you see, if this little cowherd boy, if you try and get closer, he will reveal himself. He will reveal more of himself to you. But that is on one small condition, very, very small condition. That condition is that you must be open. You know, when you have a relationship, you must be very open to me, you know. Don't hide anything, please. They always used to say that to you. Is it not? Then we can have a very cool relationship, they'll say. But the moment you touch his diary, why you touch that? It's not personal, cannot touch. So, it is not like that. With Krishna, we have to open up our diary. From A to Z, you have to tell him, Krishna, I am like this, I am like that, I was this, I was that, I did this, I did that, now I am in front of you. So that he is asking. That small condition is called sincere surrender. Right? Or we can put it as Atma Nivedanam. Surrender everything completely. Then he will say, okay, now you can know me. Like that. Of course, first, you are making the first move. Because Krishna is God. You are not God. Right? So, in that sense, we are not God. So, we have to become subservient. Alright? So, personally, he will inform us of all his opulences and his supreme position and so on and so forth. But what happens here? How many living entities do believe that Krishna can carry Govardhan Hill on his left hand, small finger, 7 days, 7 nights? Don't laugh. You know, it's like Tamil movie. Please, don't do this. You know, so the mind, it doesn't accept. Because it has been conditioned in this body that it will not accept anything other than what it can see and perceive with its limited senses. Unfortunate as it is. And also, it is full of fault-finding propensities. Alright? Why like that? First thing, the moment you see something, why like that? That means fault-finding. Alright? So this is the forefront propensities of the Jivatma. So it doesn't accept Krishna's word in reality. And sometimes it is also envious of the Lord. So how do we understand Bhagavan if you are envious? Oh, you are. Never mind. So you will be causing a gap. The moment you cause a gap, your information will not flow through. Right? Is it not? You plug the cable out of the PC, that's it. No comms cable. So how can the information come through? So it's just like that. So these are the anarthas you have to avoid. So either the Jivatma is envious of the Lord's opulence or is a non-believer. Either way, there is no question of surrender. In both cases, there is no possibility of establishing any form of relationship with Bhagavan. Now we look at a devotee who is really inclined. Then, that person who is really interested in God consciousness, he will take to heart the sublime words of the Lord very sincerely and steadfastly. Believe in them. Right? So, unless we want to come to Krishna and we want to understand Bhagavan in this sense, very, very sincerely and steadfastly, then otherwise every living entity will be sitting on the fence. It is neither this side or that side. I was talking to one of the Swamijis, Mr. Sannyasis, passing through. He said, be a demon. Huh? He said, be a demon, be a perfect demon. Then Krishna will come and kill you. You will see Krishna. Or be a perfect devotee. Then Krishna will come and save you. Don't sit on the fence. He don't know what to do with you. And you will not get the darshan of Bhagavan. You see, so you have to become like, but please don't become a demon. Say Prabhuji said, so I become demon. This is not correct. So we have to have that sincerity. Then things will progress. So Bhagavan is giving ample opportunity to one and all to make that connection in devotional service, despite our so-called condition in material life. Sometimes they will say, well, I like this. I've got time. I'm struggling to put the body and soul together. You want me to read this thick book all for what? You know, sometimes they will talk like this. You know, I don't have time. See, what time I come, what time I sleep, what time I wake up. Don't even have time to eat, you know. So these are all different excuses of the material mind that is giving, you know, so that you don't execute devotional service. So even if you are stressed, so stressed, completely stressed, in my job I see many. Sometimes they talk to themselves. Sometimes they will talk to us. And then we become stressed. So, you know, you're so stressed, you feel like going to IMH. So stressed. Sometimes, you know, you're standing, whenever we pass by on Sundays, sometimes we're coming for class or going to work, we see this particular queue. It's so long. So one day, the taxi driver said, you see, they parked the car all on the double yellow line. I said, what is happening? He said, they're all buying 4D. So, even if you bought and you didn't strike, you're seeking for wealth, is it not? And you just simply want to come into the temple and you say, let me hear what these men talking and blabbering about. This is another qualification. And if you're seeking truth, for example, you really want to surrender and you really want to know what is God, you're all in the list. Bhagavan is already stated. You're all in the list. Because Bhagavan says, Chaturvidha Bhajante Imam, Jnana Sukirtino Arjuna. Artho Jignasur Arthaarti Jnani Cha Bhartasubha. O best among the Bharatas. Four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me. They are the distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and the one who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. These are the four kinds of persons who are qualified to perform my bhajana, Krishna says that. So those who are anxious to eradicate their distress, no, you have so much of problems, so much of problems, you're called Artha. That is the name given to you, the living entity who is in that condition. Alright? Now, those who are inquisitive to understand the Absolute Truth, they are called Jignasu. And those who desire to attain material happiness, body, they are called Artharthi. And those who are realizing spiritual truth at every moment, they are called jnani. When the four types of persons who are eligible to engage in bhakti, as mentioned, receive the mercy of Bhagavan or his devotees, they become free from their particular motivations, which are respectively relief from distress, desire to have their inquisitiveness satisfied, desire for wealth, and attachment to jnana. So, the underlying factor is that whatever your condition, you come to the devotees or you come to the Lord and everything will be solved. So these personalities, they are the rightful candidates for Sudha Bhakti. In Shastra, in the scriptures, there are examples like this. One who was very distressed and who called upon the Lord was Gajendra. Okay, the crocodile was biting his leg, and for thousands of years they were fighting. And immediately, the moment he prayed fervently to Bhagavan, the Lord came and he gave him vimochan. Now, when the rishis, for example, the Shaunaka rishis and the other rishis became very fearful upon the arrival of Kali Yuga, they didn't know what to do because the understanding the inability of karma and fruitive activity to have any benefits, they approached the great devotee Sudha Goswami and inquired how the people of this age could benefit, get the ultimate benefit, Krishna Prema. And he instructed them on Sudha Bhakti and immediately they attained what they wanted. Durva Maharaj, he wanted an opulent kingdom, right? And when he saw Bhagavan, what did he say? I was looking for glass, but I got the actual jewel. That's what Dhruva Maharaj said. So, that is one part. And the jnani, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sananda and Sanakumara, actually they were nirvishesha jnanis, or impersonalists, in the very start of their life. And by the mercy of Bhagavan and his devotees, they completely rejected impersonalism and became Sudha Bhaktas. So in that sense, whatever condition we are in, we can come to the point of understanding Krishna. And that is possible by Bhagavan's mercy and the mercy of his devotees. So there is actually no excuse, because we definitely fall into one of these categories. You cannot tell me there is any other categories. not possible. Right? So now that we know that we are so-called qualified to understand Bhagavan, we must also accept the anumana. That means the scriptural evidences given to further understand the supreme position of the Lord, to be able to surrender sincerely. Krishna, as he does in Srimad Bhagavatam, he proclaims that himself with the original supreme Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan. The wise, they know this information and they lovingly engage in devotional service. And they derive great satisfaction and eternal bliss from conversing about Krishna. And to such persons, Krishna is giving full understanding. Otherwise, understanding inconceivable Krishna is beyond the limit of our limited, imperfect senses. We cannot go there and say, okay, shoot, I want to understand you. It's not possible. Alright? Because we have to be qualified. And what is that qualification? Sincerity. And Shraddha, faith. These two things have to be there. Even the demigods and the sages, they cannot understand Krishna. Alright? How many times Brahma got into trouble? At least twice. How many times Indra got into trouble? Many times. And they are all demigods. Much, much, much more intelligent than us. Much more opulent in every possible way. But they cannot understand Bhagavan. It is just not possible. And the sages. There are so many categories. For example, at the time of Krishna's departure, back to Vaikuntha, back to Goloka Vrindavan, he was actually instructing Uddhava. And Uddhava was seated next to him. And further to a distance was Maitreya Rishi. And he was sitting a little distance away. Why? They're different. Both were pure devotees. Both could see Krishna. And both were, you know, his devotees. What's the difference? Because Uddhava accepts without any conceptions, without anything, that you are my worshipable Lord. That's it. Period. Full stop. Just like the gopis. Whereas Maitreya Rishi, being a Muni, he goes through reason and logic and all the different anumanas and scriptural evidences and then accepts, this is the personality of Godhead. So that is the difference. Simple. So, not all the sages. It is just not possible. So, just imagine, if the rishis cannot understand and the demigods, devatas cannot understand, then what is the position of the scholars of this tiny planet? All the PhDs, permanent head damage and everything else. What is the use? It's just not possible unless it is bestowed by Bhagavan or his devotees. So scholarship is not a qualification. Now in the earlier text, Prabhupada mentioned seven great sages. We will touch on them very lightly. Kashyapa, Atri, Vasishtha, Vishwamitra, Gautama, Yamadagni and Bharatvaja. Just to give you a synopsis how great these personalities are. Kashyapa is one of the 10 mentally generated sons of creator Brahma. Garuda and Aruna are the sons of Kashyapa. Alright? And also the Nagas and Kadru and the 12 Adityas. So it's not an ordinary personality. Atri is the Saptarishi, one of the seven. Alright? He is symbolized by a great bear and the seven stars around it. In Latin they call him Megrus. It's everywhere. It cannot be denied. The star is also considered the delta. He is the seer of the fifth mandala of the Rig Veda. He has many sons and disciples. Lord Ram visited Atri Maharishi's ashram during his 14 years of stay in forest. And Atri was the one who showed the way to Dandakaranya forest to Ram after showering his hospitality on him. Vasishtha. Vasishtha is the chief of the seven sages and Rajaguru of the Surya Vamsa. See? And he had Kamadeno and that caused a big problem, I believe, with Vishwamitra. Next comes Vishwamitra, right? Brahma Rishi. He is one of the venerated rishis and sages. And he is accredited that in the Puranas it is stated that only 24 rishis, alright? Only 24 rishis who know the complete meaning of Gayatri. No one else. And he is one of them, who is supposed to be the first. And of course, Yajnavalkya is the last, in that sense, in that order. Gautama is also one of the seven, alright? He is the son of Raghuguna. And he is the reason why Indra has eyes all over his body. Big story. Alright? And also Gautama's wife, Ahalya, had the good fortune of meeting Lord Ram just by his curse. Can you imagine? Someone curses you and you get to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How great a person he is. Now these rishis, also Yamadagni, alright? According to, he is a descendant of Sish Bhrigu. Alright? And one of his children was Parashuram, Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Bharadvaja. This particular person, he did severe penances. And Dronacharya is supposed to be his son. So they are not ordinary personalities. And they cannot understand Krishna. Just imagine. Srila Prabhupada also mentions 25 other persons, 11 sages and 14 manus altogether are the source of all progeny in this universe. Even these exalted personalities can accurately learn about Krishna only by directly hearing from the Lord or his devotees. Can you imagine where we are standing? What is our position? Just impossible. The other day we were in the class and we were mentioning that just close your eyes, all of you, and then think and imagine how long is 5 miles or 8 miles. Is it possible? Not possible. So limited. Can we see through this pillar? Limited. Again, limited eyesight. Alright? Most of the time the wife or the husband speak to themselves, both don't understand each other. Why? Imperfect. And then they end up quarreling. So, there are many things like that, which is impossible. So how can we understand Bhagavan? So, again we come back to the Anumanas, the evidences of the greatness of the Supreme Lord, from Mother Shastra. Right? Here, in this verse, in this text, is known as Hiranyagarbha. What is the meaning of Hiranyagarbha? If you go to Vishnu Sahasranama Srotra, number 8, it is stated, Isana prana da prano jesta shrestha prajapatihi Hiranyagarbho bhugarbho madhavo madhusudanaha. Then, if we take this stanza and then we analyze, Isana, he who controls and regulates everything. Pradana, one who bestows and activates the prana, the vital energy. Prano, the supreme being. Jesta, the eldest of all, for there is nothing before him. Shrestha, one deserving the highest praise. Prajapatihi, the master of all living beings, because he is Ishvara, controller of all the controllers. Hiranyagarbho, one who is Atman of even Brahma the creator. Bhugarbho, one who has got the world within himself. Madhavo, the consort of Mahalakshmi. Madhusudanaha, the destroyer of the Madhu demon. Just in a nutshell, that's this verse. Sums up the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. In Saitriya Upanishad 2.8, it is stated like this. We'll skip the Sanskrit. It is